Agenda item one. Discussion and possible action on selection of investment advisor. Turn this over to John Hawes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll give just real brief background, and then we'll bring our first presentation in. This contract that we're talking about today is for our investment advisory services contract. And what these folks do for us is to assist us in how we making the decisions of how we invest our available reserves and funds that we have in order to maximize, of course, our rates of return, our investment returns. We have had the organization we currently have, the incumbent, is called Valley View Consulting, and they are our first presenter, as it turns out, this morning, too. We have been doing business with them for the last 6 years. We have a two-year contract with them with two-year option with actually we've exercised two-year options with them. So we're at the end of the 6 years that we've had, and then that's where we determined it was appropriate to go back out and resolicit and give the marketplace a chance to compete in this again. So that's where we are. But they are the incumbents, and we will listen to their presentation. Then the next a presenter at approximately at 11 o'clock will be Patterson and Associates. They were actually the incumbents before Valley View. So if you go back 6 years before that, we did business with them for about 5 or 6 years prior to that. So those, and then the last presenter, which will be at 1 o'clock later in the afternoon, First Southwest has not done this forth with us, but had a good proposal. We received, by the way, we received seven responses when we put out the RFP. Internally, we had a group that shortlisted them to these three finalists that I just mentioned, and we believe those are the best three to for you guys to listen to and hopefully to evaluate. So if you have any, I have to answer any questions. Otherwise, I'll go get Valley View. I've told them to spend about 30 minutes in a presentation, roughly, to present their proposal and then be, of course, available for whatever questions you all might have.
I do have a question. Is the committee and are the committee and staff members familiar with the Public Funds Act that requires that all of our funds be secured and safe under law?
Yes.
With the financial, whatever financial institutions we have them with?
That's correct. Yes, sir. That's
good. I know you know that.
Yes.
But is everybody familiar with the Public Funds
Act? The Public Funds Investment Act is a state statute that we, of course, have to follow. It's exactly like Director Bennis has said, that pretty much tries to guarantee to some extent the security of public funds from a principal standpoint, and therefore limits most of your investment choices to pretty secure type choices. There's certainly some risk in areas and but mostly they're either U.S. securities and agency funds, or we have been investing most recently in certificates of deposit, as you all know, that have to then be collateralized by the banks and things like that. But then there's other things. There are other instruments that you can do that have a little more risk.
Which leads me to my next question. Why do we need an investment advisor when we have assurances in some respect that these funds are going to be guaranteed? So have we always had an investment advisor?
We had one here when I came on back in 2003, and we've always had one. During a period where you're investing in securities, especially agency stuff, it's very helpful to have them because they understand the market and you're actually buying and trading securities, and they help us. During this last, to be honest with you, in this last 5 or 6 year period, of course, we didn't necessarily know this, but when certificates of deposit have become the best investment vehicle for us, you're right, that's a more simplified thing. Now, it does require you go out, whenever you have investable funds, you put out a request for proposals from the various banks and stuff like that, and then get, I think we have like 25 banks that we request, we get in however many respond for particular CDs, we tell them how much money. So they help us with that, but you're right. If we knew that was the only environment we were going to be in, we probably wouldn't. Yes, we could almost do that in-house in some regards. They also do reporting, though. They provide the reporting that you all see every quarter and stuff, and that's important to have. We probably could go and get a software deal to do that and do that in-house if we needed to. But
part of the problem is our monetary policy and the rates being low. It's just been a real difficult thing for all public entities to get any yield while they're being safe and with the standards. So if you have an expense on that, it really just knocks that yield down.
Right.
But these are pretty cheap.
They're pretty inexpensive. That's one of the reasons. Is this is approximately about a $30,000 a year contract. So it's not a lot of money from that standpoint. What they get somewhere between 3 and 4 basis points on whatever they're helping you with is the typical rate that they charge. So, yes.
The last statement you just made, were you talking about the contract compensation, or were you talking about compensations per?
No, the contract compensation. What the fee that we pay them for their advisory assistance.
So then for any other transactions during the time that they're under contract, they don't collect additional fees?
That's exactly right, and that's a good point. They also help us with some other things, like for instance, banking. When we go out for depository agreements, and I may mention that right now, but we currently have a depository agreement, as y'all may remember, with BBVA Compass, which you all approved about 3 years ago. We just recently got some information from them where they're going to change. They want to change the terms of that agreement to where it's much lower interest that they want to pay us in the next. And they have the option to do that. They have their option periods, and we're at the beginning of another option period, and they've said we want to change the stuff. So we're going to have to go out. My recommendation, we're going to go out and have to resolicit depository agreements earlier than I wanted to have to do, but that's what we're going to need to do. And these folks help us, whoever we select, help us with that process too, because they're very familiar with that industry and also how you supply the information of the bank so that you make sure you get the apples to apples proposals.
Do we have any funds invested at Chase?
We do not.
I mean, you know the reason why I asked, because they were recently hacked. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not that familiar.
I mean, there
with
were
it,
yeah. Like millions of
I think that was primarily the consumers, but yeah, they had a huge.
We do not have any. They're neither depository nor do they have any. We have any certificates of deposits with them. So they could very well be someone that proposes here coming up on, and they have in the past for depository services. Take that into consideration. Any other?
Okay.